Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. In his message titled Emergency Preparations, Reverend David Williams tells us that our time here on earth is limited. We have to break away from our busy human lives and finally be what God wants us to be, His light and His grace here on earth. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We have such good intentions. We have set in front of us this idea of who it is we want to be, who God is trying to make us, and we want to get to that place. We do. But as we seek to prepare ourselves for that person we're trying to become, we don't. We hold the vision, but we don't lay the groundwork. We set that person up, but we don't take any of the steps we'd need to make that happen. And we hold that vision in front of us, and we let it sit there day by day, becoming more and more like a dream, and less like something real. It's easy for us to do this, to let ourselves spin in distraction, not be who we are called to be. Let us now admit that we struggle with that, admit that we drift and we wander. Let's confess this truth by praying it together. Please join with me in the prayer of confession. Gracious God, loving God, we find ourselves moving from one moment to another as our lives rush along. We barely have time to breathe sometimes as the days blur into each other. In that rush, we keep telling ourselves that there are things we will finally get around to someday. We'll make ourselves the person you want us to be. We'll fix that broken relationship. We'll do what we know it is you try to light up in us. We say that, yet the days go by, and we do not make it real. Remind us, gracious one, that our time is not endless. Help us, gracious one, because we can't quite find our way. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to what is good. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from Matthew's Gospel. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. That's Matthew 25, 1 through 13. You can follow along on page 28 of your Pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there won't be enough for you and for us. You better go over to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Things have changed this last week. Quote, "How stark winter is coming." It feels that way finally after the fall, as the wind has howled through the trees and the leaves have come cascading down by their thousands and tens of thousands. I watched a football game on Friday and tried to explain to my son as we went that this meant it was getting colder, that he really did need a jacket. Didn't believe me for a second. They don't do that. They just don't. But the air is growing cold now. And we're wondering to ourselves, are we going to be ready for this winter? Are we ready for what cold will bring as storms and snow and ice and slop falls from the sky? Because we have to be prepared for those moments. Preparedness is not something you get a do-over on. It just isn't. If you're trying to milk a couple more hundred miles out of a pair of tires that should have been replaced before snow comes, that first low traction moment isn't going to just hover in the air waiting for you to go get a new set of tires. We'll just float here while you go get them installed. It doesn't happen. When a storm blows through and the snow piles up as deep as your knee, it's not the time to discover that the boots you bought for your child last year are now half the size of their current foot. Pay attention if you've got little ones. That happens like that. Their feet are like boats. And got these little piddly things that they might wear on their hands but aren't going anywhere else. When things happen, they just happen right then and there. And being ready for them is key. We have to be ready for eventualities, because stuff just happens. What if like a water main breaks just at random and you find yourself without water in most of a town for a better part of a day? Do you have water to drink? Do you have water to boil? Do you have some way to fill up those toilets? It's not a bad idea to be ready for that. Or what if, as winter rolls through, we get another one of those super megastorms? I don't even know what they're calling them now. A cyclonic hurra-blizzafuna-racho. And there's like no power for a week. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the cold? It helps to prepare. And that sense of wanting to be ready for those unanticipated things is something that I try to internalize. Try to make part of our family's life. It's why we have a generator that's not just a generator, but a reliable generator and one that's hyper-efficient. It's why we have reserve fuel. It's why there's always a couple things of propane ready for cooking, why there's cured wood for our wood-burning fireplace. It's why I've got so many wind-up lights and radios and stoves and equipment and as much stuff as I can get my hands on, because it's kind of fun. That sense of being ready for whatever comes is important. I mean, sometimes you get obsessive, and after you've got the generator, do you really need to convince your wife that she has to buy you a small solar-powered charging array that can be stored downstairs so it'll be immune to solar storms? And you get a little obsessive. I get a little obsessive. But you gotta have that solar array so you can charge your cell phones after nothing works in the world around you, because we all know how well cell phones work in a disaster. You know, it'd keep my wife playing Candy Crush. And so that's, you know, gotta keep that charged and running. We have to be ready. I mean, what if there's the outbreak of some terrible disease, or we're just frightened of a terrible disease? What if we need to shelter in place? You've got to have that full month's supply of non-perishable food. And so we do, the big stack, cans of a month, really. Soup and cans of veggies and pounds of rice in bags, sealed in Tupperware, ready to go, ready to be mixed in with the month's supply of baked beans that we seem to have. Full of protein, although thinking about, you know, you're sheltering in place, you're in an enclosed space for a month, baked beans, not the best idea, but we also have a good extra month supply of toilet paper because, yeah, we want to be prepared. There is almost this sense of being over-prepared. Our society likes going overboard with things. There's a whole subculture. Back when I was a kid, they were survivalists. Now they're preppers or doomsday folks. And you can peruse their stuff online. There are places that they go to shop, like sort of Amazon.com for the incoming asteroid and pandemic plague crowd. I spent some time this week at survivalwarehouse.com, which you can check out to your entertainment. It is your one-stop apocalypse shopping location, so you can be prepared for absolutely anything. They sell everything, including, I think they're the primary distributor of something that they call survival cave food. Survival cave food, which is evidently the only American product, the only survival meat product, guaranteed to last for 20 years unrefrigerated. It's now in convenient 360-serving buckets. Now that's going to get a little old after week 10, but, And then there's all, I mean, you get people preparing for apocalypses they know aren't even going to happen. There's this place in England that sells a $120,000 zombie apocalypse survival cabin. You know, kitted out with barbed wire and things. And you're thinking, really? I think it's mostly tongue-in-cheek, but someone out there is going to buy it, and I think we're more likely to be invaded by orcs or dragons. I mean, and anyway, zombies are so 2011. Why would you even? We don't have to go that far, drifting into obsessing, drifting into paranoia, but we do need to be ready. Being prepared is a vital thing, especially when it comes to encountering life and things in life that come at us unexpectedly. And when we are distracted, that's when we tend to stumble into those unanticipated emergencies, because we assume, after all, because we need to assume this, that we can leave things to the very last moment. We get so distracted by the churn and rush of life, by the bustle and chatter and flutter of all the different things that call our attention. And every one of them says, I am the most important thing you can possibly be doing at this moment. Our lives too often involve us chasing from thing to thing, from meeting to activity to moment, chasing our calendars, chasing our schedules so that the things of real significance, the signal that we need to listen for, just slips right on by us. Or it can come crashing right into us as we've made the mistake of assuming that today is going to be like yesterday. We become unprepared. And what Jesus has to offer up in Matthew's gospel today is all about preparing for what is most important. We're continuing our journey through Matthew's gospel today, and we've been there for the last few weeks. And here we come to the last sequence of his teachings. It's a section of teaching that begins in chapter 23 and goes on through 25, and it's called the judgment discourse. Here, Jesus gets down to what is most essential, what is core, what really matters. What is valuable and good? What shouldn't we focus on? How are things going to end? What is the destiny of all of the people who inhabit creation? And so among these stories that Jesus is telling to get to the core of what he has to teach, we have an answer to one of those questions, which we heard today in a story. And of course, it's a story. That is how Jesus teaches. This one talks about a wedding, 10 bridesmaids getting ready, and it's a very parably parable. You know, it's got all these obviously symbolic things that are happening here and there. And it's worth noting that this story may or may not actually reflect the way weddings happen around Jesus in first century Judea. Whatever the case is, whether this is an exact recounting of how a Judean wedding planner would have set things up, we do know that if you've ever had a wedding or been to a wedding, some of the times everything works exactly the way you've planned it. And some of the times it doesn't. You'll encounter a delay, or someone will have a last-minute panic, or a bus will break down, or something. You just don't know. Always, always something doesn't quite mesh with our expectation of how it's going to be. And when we're encountering something new, what we bring to that new thing is, if we're gonna get through it okay, is wisdom. And so the images Jesus presents are a call for those who hear his message to be wise in the way they approach their relationship with the world around them. And specifically, are we wise in the way we relate to God and this kingdom that Jesus kept proclaiming? So he starts again telling the story of brides and bridesmaids, always with the stories and always starting them. The kingdom of God is like this. Not exactly this, but this is a part of it. And here the issue is being prepared for that which you do not expect. Now, all 10 of the bridesmaids show up, and they've got oil in their lamps. They're ready for things to work perfectly. The 5 wise ones, though, remember to bring extra oil, just in case things run slow. And the others, he'll be on time. It'll work out. This is a wisdom parable, typically binary, the wise and the foolish. The wise always the ones who plan, who prepare, who do the things that have to get done so that when the unanticipated occurs, they'll have a solid foundation on which to stand. And the foolish? They don't need to think about it. The bridesmaids, obviously, are supposed to be us. Us in our move through life. Us as we try to figure out how we are supposed to live, how we're supposed to relate to God. And honestly, most of the time, a lot of the time, we end up acting as the foolish ones. You know, it's time for a nap. Well, I'll just take a little nap now. Or I'm too busy to really think about that. Or I'm too busy doing this other thing. And not really grasping the importance of filling up and being prepared for the arrival of that moment at an unexpected time, maybe early, maybe late. This parable challenges us, as all of Christ's teachings challenge us, particularly when it comes to our expectations about how things are going to be. If we're going to be ready to make the right choices when our choosing really counts, we have to have filled ourselves up with actions that prepare ourselves for that moment. here we have a moment of decision offered up for a group of peoples, and the ones who have prepared themselves by doing those things before that moment that mean they are ready to choose rightly, ready to act rightly when that moment happens. In our own lives, that happens as we build the discipline of making ourselves that person we want to be. How do we do that? We do that by every single day making choices that reflect the grace that Christ taught. In every day, in every action, we set that before us. In every day, we choose that and build ourselves up so that we, when confronted with real, deep, shaking crisis moments, will be in the right position to respond. As we go through our lives, it is those reservoirs of grace we need to fill up in ourselves so that when it comes right down to it, when we are faced with making a decision that could break us or cause harm to others, we know how to act in grace because again and again and again we have. Here in this message of preparedness, we are asked to take our lives, take every moment, and assume that in this time, in this choice, whatever that choice may be, we need to build ourselves up. It's a minor thing. The choices can be trivial. In the case of these bridesmaids, it's as trivial as, you know, remembering to fill up before you take a long trip. Remembering to bring your jacket when it's cold. The ethical parallels of that in our lives are a little different, but not much. Remembering, even though you have had way too much coffee this morning, and you're like this, and someone's bugging you because they haven't done what they're supposed to, that your action towards them should still be gracious. That a word of calm kindness in that moment builds on something, both in you and in them. As we go through our lives, we are filling up those reservoirs, filling them up with life and gracious action. As we go out, as we move out in the world, as we live in a place where the bridegroom might come at any time, remember, let your every action fill up that reservoir of grace. Understand that it might happen at any moment. And be ready. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
I know, it's an Advent hymn. We're not quite there yet. And when you walk into the store and they're playing Christmas music and it's barely after October, you're like, stop! Stop! But it's an Advent hymn. It's an Advent song talking of watchfulness for that unexpected moment when suddenly the dawn has come. We don't know in our lives when that choice, that change, that moment might come. We don't know when someone's going to tap us on the shoulder and, hey, it's Jesus, and there you go. We don't know that. What we're asked is to watch and to keep ourselves prepared. Filling our lives, filling ourselves in every moment with choices that shape us more into that person God is calling us to be. As you step out into the world, out of these doors, let your choices fill you up and prepare you. Let every choice be practiced for that moment you stand in encounter with God, with Christ. That's our walk. That's what we're preparing for. Let's go out and walk it together. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long.